Privilege to do this. I'm glad to be able to, although I don't do it as often as I used to. But I do have to say this morning. Between Lexi and Bill Augsburger, much of the application of what I wanted to preach about has already been said. I think that's great. We're going to look at a little bit of Elijah's life, and if you want to stop and go life, there is one. Set aside for long periods of time, out to do things. The other thing was the Bill Augsburger talking about, I don't know where the power comes from. That's the main subject of what we're going to look at today. So if you want to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18, I want to give you another verse before we do that, but that's what we're going to look at. And we'll get all these things working together if we can. James 5:17. Now that's not what I told you. 1 Kings 17:18. What we want to look at, but James 5:17. James says this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly. We've been praying. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. Let's go to prayer again. Father, I simply pray that your word will communicate itself. I appreciate the group, the songs that have been put together when we didn't get together on these things, the message they put together, how it's all gone together. The testimonies, the prayer for Lexi and Robert, and talking about stopping and going. In one sense, they feel like they're stopping while they're studying, but on the other hand, that's part of the going. And Bill just simply taking the Romans road to a fellow. We all have those kind of things. Elijah was probably the greatest prophet that came. But at the same time, he's one that has many lessons for us. And I picked a few of those today, and I ask, Lord, that you'll bless them to me as I have in preparing them, but bless them to others as they look at them and go back and check up on me this week to see if I told them the right thing. Father, it's your word, it's your spirit we need now in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah, a man like we are. Really? Can we say that? You think you're like Elijah? I think that's putting it backwards. I'm not like Elijah, but it tells me that I have the same human nature. That's what it boils down to. Elijah was a man just like us. Except Elijah did not die. Remember that? He was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. Doesn't sound like me, but the Lord's going to come and get me one of these days. Malachi 6:5 says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There's that word again, Norm. Elijah's going to come again. When? We'll let Norm give us some ideas over a period of time. Dave Roper, in his book about Elijah, has this to say. Elijah was the greatest of the prophets. His name was synonymous with success for 900 years. After the death, now he said death, but that was his taking. Elijah was the greatest prophet. His name was synonymous with success for over 900 years after his death. His fame surpassing the greatest and most famous of Israel's leaders. Think about it. 900 years, didn't have newspapers, couldn't put it in the paper, couldn't do comics about it, couldn't do all these other things, didn't write tracts about it. People came and went, prophets came and went, and yet he was the greatest one. In fact, so much so that the word of mouth was out there to get all around those things. John the Baptist, remember, was asked if he was Elijah. He said no. There's another one coming that I'm not even capable or even worthy of untying his shoes. But think about it the other hand. The king at that time, Herod, killed John the Baptist. Pretty soon he's hearing about Jesus doing things, and what's he say? He says it's Elijah, raised from the dead. That's quite a reputation to have at the end of 900 years. Most of us probably think that to have a man like Elijah come up and do these things, get this kind of reputation, do these things, he probably had some unusual talent. Probably had a personal charisma. Or he had an inherent quality. But let me remind you again that James says he was a man just like us. And I don't have those things. Maybe God's given me a gift for doing some things I do. That's what God's given. That's not me. That's the Lord. Was a man, I'm just reiterating again, Elijah was a man with a nature just like us. Let's now go to 1 Kings 18. I'm going to read it in sections and then we'll look at it. Now it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go present yourself to Ahab. Go present yourself to Ahab. Whoops, I jumped ahead of there. Where am I? 17. That's what he does at the end. We jump to the end. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. That's pretty strong. I couldn't do that. And yet as soon as I tell you that, I just told you a lie. If God wanted me to, I think I would. But just simply to go in and to the President of the United States and say it's not going to rain for 3.5 years because of what you're doing. I couldn't do that. The point is, by God's power. And that's the thing we're going to look at. So let's go down and see what he does. Verse 2. I'm still trying to get in the wrong chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Get away from here, turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. The ravens brought him food and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it happened that while that brook, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up. How long does it take a brook to dry up? We didn't live in mountain country. I don't know exactly where Cherith was. The Bible says it flows into the east side of Jordan. But knowing what I do know about the mountain country, if the rain quits totally, I imagine a small brook like that could dry up in the shortest couple months, maybe. Maybe a few weeks. It might go a little bit longer. But remember he said he's going to not rain until God said so again. James says it was 3.5 years. Wow. So Cherith is a brook. I'm going to look at the provision of God for this kind of power now. Cherith was a brook flowing into the Jordan River. Water from, this is pretty obvious, water from the brook gave him drink. Food, ravens providing meat. Let me give you a side right there. Where did he get that meat? What would we call it today? Let me add this. Pat told me. This is Pat's fault, but you're getting nows from Pat. She says there was two birds out in the road eating. Yeah, you get the point. One says, I think we ought to give thanks. The other one says, yes, and thank the Lord for the truck driver, too. Thank the Lord for the chariot. It ran over him, I guess. Did you know that a raven is a, I call it a dirty bird? Unclean is the word in Deuteronomy. It's one of those animals you're not supposed to mess around with. It's unclean. And yet, what kind of meat? I don't know where the ravens got the meat. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we think roadkill, don't we? Be that as it may be, remember in Acts 15, it was that Acts 10 maybe, it was Peter was getting ready to go to Cornelius and had that sheet come down with all the animals in it. The point is that what God cleanses, do not call uncommon. If he wants to give you roadkill, you trust him for the difference. And what I read about some of the prisoners coming out of the Second World War, some of the things that have taken place in Vietnam, Burma, and some of these other things that I try to follow just because I want to see what Christians have to do. Some of the things they've had to eat, I think, is worse than roadkill. And I hate to bring all that up, but it's fact. Pray for those people. Okay, changing subject a bit. Pray for the people out of Ukraine right now. And I just throw this in as a side. I sat yesterday on the board with Praise International, and we have taken on a couple more projects. We have, and we had communications from our pastor in Moldova that's close to one of the entryways into Moldova from Ukraine. And they've taken on a project on their own. The pastors themselves are trying to raise enough money to take truckloads of goods, clothes, foods, and everything else to meet these evacuees. Food that they haven't had for a while. And we ask them, well, how much does it take to do that? Well, they get a truck and it takes about $10,000 to fill the truck. And another $600 for gas to make the trip. So we've taken on the project now, and you might hear about this more, and I'm not going to say more than that, of filling a truck or two to help them get food to them. So that's another thing you can pray about. Okay, back to Elijah. Food and raven. Boy. Recall that, I mentioned that Peter said these things are not, don't let God say these things have been cleaned, don't call them common. But the brook dried up. What do you do now? 2 weeks, 6 weeks, I don't know how long down there. You and I both know that it's going to be a 3.5 year period of time. Elijah didn't know that. What's he do with himself? Sit by the brook, watch it dry up. What do you do then? Stop. Time to go again. Here we go. I'm going to read the verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Then she said to him, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not go. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until that day. The Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, she and he and her household. She and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. There's one of those things again. I don't know that I could make a prophecy like that. I don't know that I can make a prophecy. I don't even know that I can preach sometimes. Get right down to it. But I do know that the Lord empowers, and he will put in your mouth sometimes the answers you need. Bill told us that. I can't remember anything specific, but having been a missionary for years, I know there's times that I said things I probably shouldn't have, but there's also times that I said things I didn't know I was going to say that were right. But it wasn't no statements about 3.5 years. It wasn't statements that God's going to fill your flour, your pot of flour and your cruse of oil. But God can do that. It's His power. And if He chooses to do that, don't say no. Since Elijah is a man like us, let's not lay down some of these things. God's leading often surprises us. Well, testimony this morning, wasn't there? Don't analyze it. Just do what's given you to do. Beginning days after the hardest, often hard. You get this idea that you're supposed to go to the mission field. So what do they have to do? Go for a year and a half to a special school where they do nothing but train about flying airplanes and doing maintenance. Wow. Stop. Or best, just do it. Don't quit. Don't quit. I remember one time, personal testimony, my wife at that time and I were pastoring a small church down here in Wilder, Idaho. And the Lord showed us we should change. Now, I won't go into all the reasons for that. We haven't got time for that, for one thing. But we did, but we couldn't find housing. We looked and we looked. We started packing. We actually had all of our stuff packed in the front room of the house we were living in, the parsonage, and did not know where we were going. Now, should I have been out looking for housing? Yeah, and we sort of did. My wife was getting more concerned than I was, but I won't deny that I was concerned. Went to church that morning. It was a Sunday morning. We were moving out Sunday afternoon. No house. A woman in the church came up to me and says, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, we don't know yet. Well, I've got a trailer home behind my flower shop. You can go down here in Nissa, Oregon today and see that trailer home. She says, I'll give it to you until you get a job. How far is Wilder from Nissa? Not too far. Easy move. All of our stuff was moved out and moved in that day. So she says, I won't even charge you until you get a job. Malheur County at that time in Oregon had 14.9% unemployment. I went down to the corn cannery, asked for a job, figuring, well, I'm going to be a laborer for a while if they want one. Two people in front of me said, well, we're not hiring right now. Do I give up? No. I went up the wind anyway. And here's one of those times the Lord did give me one of those things to say. She says, well, you just heard what I said to the fellow in front of you. I said, I did, but you didn't ask all the right questions. Huh? You didn't ask if I had any special talents. Huh? Yeah, I used to drive a fork truck 17 years ago. I didn't tell her the 17 years ago part. I was hired in 15 minutes. Done. One time. Just like that. To make the story even a little better, and this is what the Lord did. We went back and negotiated with the woman that we got the trailer house from for some rent until the corn season was over. And she says, well, we agreed on a figure. I couldn't remember what it is now. So we wrote her a check. Next month, we wrote her a check. Next month, we wrote her a check. We never saw him come through. So I said, well, we might have to be here a while longer. I'm working. We can pay you the rent. She says, don't worry about it. Just keep on coming. Well, we ended up staying there for a year. And when we left, she gave us all year's checks back. What can I say? Was I doing the right thing? Yes. For us, and we went ahead. God did it. Jack Mount can't do it, wouldn't do it, and so on. So some of those days are pretty hard. That was going off and staying with the widow, if you please. Didn't know what we were going to do next. And the Lord did many things through that period of time and kept us going back into, in this case, a job up in Washington, which was a caretaker for a camp. All taken care of. God's provisions are often just enough. Don't fail to thank Him. And I believe that we did much thanking of Him in those times and those days. Let's talk about the widow for just a little bit. How would you recognize a widow? Come on, you're going into a strange... Oh, by the way, did I tell you that to go up there to Zarephath was an 80-mile walk? Wow. 80 miles to walk up there, foreign country. It was Phoenicia, Sidon at that time. And you're walking up to the gate of the city, and it's got a little or a small town, whatever it was, and I've seen these in the Near East. They got walls around them, they're higher than you can see. Here's a woman and a boy out there. Is that a widow? I don't know. Her husband could be out taking care of the sheep. I don't know. But the Bible says he walked up to her and says, greets himself when we read it. Take a stick. She says, there's not enough to eat. I'm getting sticks. I'm going to go in and eat and drink what we have and die. He says, okay. Yeah. But give me some first. Whoops. My compassion tells me that if you're doing that, I'd say, wow, here, if I can find something, I'm going to give it to you. Go ahead. You go ahead and take care of that. The Lord will take care of me. Why would he do it that way? I don't have an answer for that. But it's one of those things. The Lord told him what to say. He did it. She obeyed. Oh. When you get one of those hard things, here's her faith. She obeyed. And what happens for the next two months, the flour never ceases being enough in the bin, and the oil never ceases being enough in the cruise. Wow. Okay, now I haven't said it here. I sort of left it out. I called that a hidden brook. And I'm calling this a hidden widow because he never saw her before. He didn't know her. And they evidently lived there for another 2 years. Let's go on and look a little further here now. Looking at verse 17, reading through the end. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. He died. So she said to Elijah, What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray that this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother and said to him, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth. That's quite a miracle. Resurrection. Wow. Okay. But what did she say when the son died? He brought my sin to memory. What sin? I don't know. It's not said. How many times have you been in a crisis situation? For me, usually it's a health thing. Oh, Lord, you've let me down. Did he? No. Oh, Lord, why do I have to go through this? Lord, why did you take my son? Why did these things have to happen? For God's glory. Take a son for God's glory? Yes. So he went up, prayed, stretched himself out, and anyway, the son was revived. I call this a hidden sin. Now, he got his provision by water from a hidden brook. He got food from a hidden widow. Now, she's got a hidden sin that we never find out anything about, but she finds out that God is greater than that sin. God is going to take care of her. Not only that, he does. So when you get these promises from God, I mentioned, if you're slowed down, analyze it, but don't worry, keep on going. Beginning days are the hardest, don't quit. God's promises hinge on obedience. Don't ignore. The woman was obedient to the flour and the oil. She was obedient to Elijah. Elijah was obedient to the Lord. The Lord gave tremendous blessing and gave the son back. Wow. And I think there's even a better application for all three of these. We read, let me see, I put little tags in here so I can find it and have to sort through them. In the Bible, in John chapter 4, about a woman at the well. Jesus has been traveling up through there. He must needs go through Samaria. He stops at Samaria. It turns out she's a prostitute. She's had, a prostitute. She's had four husbands, and the husband she was living with was the one now, and yet Jesus has to go through Samaria to meet her. And what's he tell her? Verse 4:10. Oh, got to find it. If you knew the gift of God, he's asked her for a drink, and she didn't want to give it to him or thinking about it because he's Hebrew. If you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked for him, and he would have given you living water. Now, I picked that just simply to show the first place by the brook. God's giving us a picture of what water can do. It takes care of Elijah. And when he may have gone elsewhere, there was water, something, it had oil anyway, but there's a drought, a serious drought. But God provides for what he wants. Let's look at that. I'm looking over at Ephesians 4, 2:19. I called it a hidden widow or a hidden sin, and we got this widow up there. Let me look at 19. Got to find it here. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers. My outline, when I originally wrote this, I called it hidden water, hidden brook, hidden stranger, and hidden sin. You are no longer foreigners and strangers. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're no longer in the widow's capacity. You're in the, well, you're in Elijah's capacity. You get to walk like he did. You get to obey and follow him. You get to help one another. You get to take your cruse of oil and see it grow while they're being fed. You get to get the blessings of the Lord as it works that way. God provides food as needed. Remember, food for 5,000? I don't need to go there and look at all that. I think you remember that story. 4,000 another time? Can he provide food for 3 years? He did for Elijah. Wow. So God provides a ministry, provides for you to have a service in which you can go out and help others. You can go out and serve others. You can go out like Robert and Lexi, ultimately who knows where, like our Moldovan pastors that are helping Ukrainians right now, like us here that are helping the Moldovan pastors help the Ukrainians. Praise International got a little bit of money in some time ago, and we bought a bunch of cows from Northern Mali. Why buy cows for farmers up there? Can't they raise their own? Jihadists come through and kill the cows. Now the family's without their meat and food. So we bought some cows. It's interesting what you can get into and find the Lord doing. Wow. The Lord provides the ministry. The ministry to Elijah. The ministry to the woman and the son, the ministry to us because we see these things. What more can be said? How do you get this ministry? How do you get to know where the hidden water and the hidden food and the hidden widow are? For me, it came when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. An old Scottish mass pastor down in Middleton, Idaho, decided that I needed to know the Lord. Thank you, Elijah. And he comes over to see my dad and says, now I want to take your son. I was 13 at the time. It's a long time ago. I want to take your son over to the pastorate and I want to talk to him about coming to know Christ. Dad didn't even know Christ and what he was talking about at that point. But he says, well, it sounds like a good idea to me. So a block and a half away, I'm sitting in the pastorate. And he turns to Romans 10:9-10. And he says, I want to explain this to you. 13-year-old boy, was I ready for it? Well, obviously I was, but I didn't know. Well, what's this all about? Now, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confess and believe in your heart that, God's raised him from the dead, it's with the confession that you make your faith known. It's with the belief that you see the resurrection. Let's pin that down more accurately here and see what it actually says. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. See, we saw a resurrection. All that was hidden until then. Wow. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I thought that was reasonable. 13-year-old boy, yeah, I can do that. I believe. Now, I have to be honest with you. I didn't take my Christianity very far for the next 5 years. I don't know if anybody knew, but I'll tell you right now, I know that's when I believed. I remember sitting in that chair beside his desk making a conscious decision. The Lord got a hold of me 5 years later and worked through some other things, but that's where it starts. Then we read the passage in Ephesians already. After that, you're no longer strangers. There's no longer a hidden stranger. You're out glorifying the Lord. There's no longer a hidden brook. He's giving you living water. There's no longer having to worry about other provisions. He will provide even down to the day that you need the house. Not before. Robert had the same story. Robert Hasty, when they went back to school. Some of you, I think, saw their letter. He drove up. He went back there by faith. And wife was still out here. Lexi was still out here. He drove into town that afternoon. Lord, where am I going to get housing? He went to the school to double check. They said, you know, we got somebody that's offering housing. He ended up at the house that day, that quick. Hours of arriving back in Michigan. I am here to tell you and encourage you. Number one, know the Lord as your own Savior. Number two, as you know that, to get used to His Word and listening to it, and obeying it, going along with it. And then after that, trusting Him to do what He said He's going to do. Let me give you one more personal story, and we'll quit. My first wife and I were missionaries with the Rural Mission Organization, and we were northeast Wyoming at that time. We just moved in. Salary wasn't very much. I don't even remember now. Secondly, the car broke down. I think threw a rod, if I remember. I had an old 51 Ford at that time. We're supposed to be getting out in the field, meeting these people in rural areas, and we can't do it. We don't even have enough money for food. How am I supposed to drive out across, you know, I only had 5 counties to work in, but that was 1/4 of Wyoming. Wow. 1 month. And I remember the day we sat there. You want to see a testimony of that? There's a little rocking chair in our front room at home. It's a child's rocker that was given me when I was 3 years old. I refinished it. I took all the old stuff off with a pen knife. Every rod, every rocker, every thing on there. It took me hours, and I had hours. I sat there and scraped and scraped and scraped and scraped, and I did it for days. But when God came through, and He did, the car was fixed, tires were given, things like that. Then my wife and I said, well, now, how are we going to do this? The Bible's pretty strong on tithing. So we decided we better tithe. Conscious decision together. We're in Sheridan, Wyoming. We decided we'd tithe. The check came in. We paid our bills. We did all we should do. And no money left. Didn't have. I'm a brand new stranger. I didn't know anybody in town yet, really. I'm beginning to make some noise. So we prayed about it. Now, Sheridan had blue laws at those times. Remember blue laws when you didn't open any store on Saturday afternoon through Sunday? at least through Sunday. And we needed milk for our son, who was still in a high chair. We could use some butter and a couple other things. Milk was the big thing. I had a little gas in this rebuilt car, and I knew that I needed to make a visit about 10 miles out of town. I had enough gas to go out and do that and come back, so I did that. And I came back and I said, "Honey, any money come in?" We got the mail that morning. It was Saturday. "No." By that time, it's too late to go down and buy any. Nothing's open. About an hour later, the phone rang. The woman says, "You know, I was in town this morning. I forgot to come by. If you'll go down to the back door of the dairy." Milk, butter, ice cream, and something else. Only God. Only God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that we have opportunity to share these things, to show your power, to show you that we can wait, that things that are hidden to us, that we can't even see or understand, will be taken care of. We've heard testimony and prayer of that this morning. We've heard my testimony. We've got others. We've got Robert, Lexi telling us, for Robert and them. Lord, every one of us can have these experiences in you. And we find out that, yes, we are of the same nature as Elijah. Well, we don't get to see those great and mighty things, maybe, and I'm talking humanly now. But you will do in our lives what you want done. And if you ever want any of these things again done, we pray that that person will be there that you want there. And help us, Lord, to wait out the times when they're rough. Help us, Lord, to say thank you. And I do say thank you for these things in my life and for the testimonies and praises we heard that were thanks. Healing. Thank you for cancer being healed. I thank you for the way that you've done other things in our lives and meeting the needs. I thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for what's being done in this congregation, in this church, and how things are going. In Jesus' name, amen.